Right, this is the Cool Shit Podcast. Each week, we round up the latest cool shit, helping us think different and keep inspired. What makes it in, what gets left out, and what gets challenged. Is it cool? Is it shit? Or does it cross the magic threshold and come bona fide, certified cool shit? Welcome to the editor's meeting. Okay, so episode 2 of the Cool Shit Podcast. We have a couple of guests. We have Gina.
Hello.
How you going, Gina?
Good, thanks.
And Siva.
Hi, Gareth.
So you guys are from our extended Zach family. So Siva, you are High Stakes Films. That's right, isn't it?
Wrong way around.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, you clearly don't know us that well.
You are High Stakes.
Yeah.
And Siva.
Yes.
You're
Selford.
Yeah, I knew. I was just waiting for you to say it. Don't say it to me like I didn't know.
Are you testing me? You're testing me.
And as always, we have James, who is the chief editor of Cool Shit. How's your week been?
It's been all right.
We were chatting earlier on. You said that you felt the stories weren't flowing so much this week.
Yeah, sometimes it writes itself, but sometimes you're kind of held victim to not much going on in the world. Well, I don't want to say that to put people off listening to this episode, but it was a bit more of a struggle, which is why we kind of need the podcast this week to actually work out what is decent and what doesn't deserve to make it. Okay, so first up, so a few weeks ago, eBay ran a competition where you could sign, one Sunday League team could sign a legend for a fiver, and that was either going to be Roberto Carlos or Ennio Luco. But this weekend just gone, Roberto Carlos played for a team called Bull in the Barn, and he came on, scored a penalty, and then went out for beers at the pub afterwards.
So I think this is great. I don't know if you have to be a certain age, or because I remember Roberto Carlos at his prime. His free kicks were like fire.
Yeah, he scored like an impossible free kick that took like the shape of a banana. Although I did see, I made it sound great when I was describing this because he came on and scored a penalty. He also came on and took a free kick and I think it went out for a throw. So clearly he's lost a bit of a step, but he's nearly 50 years old, so it's kind of fair enough.
So it's an interesting, Siva, what's your knowledge of Roberto Carlos?
Okay, I'll be honest with you. Obviously he's a bit, you know, ahead of my time, but, you know, he's such a massive legend. It's like, you know, when people talk about Pele, you know, he's just up there with those names. Do you know what I really like when they bring back legends to play these kind of games, like be it for charity or tested, like, I don't know. It's just, you can tell that they never lose it. It's like when you ride a bike, like you know how to ride a bike, you never lose that touch. It's weird to think how Roberto Carlos would be playing in a proper Sunday league game and just imagine like a Brazilian footballer playing peak winter. It's just nuts. I'd love to be there.
I saw it pop up on a couple of personal feeds of like mates and stuff that were reposting it. And it was just a picture of Chris Kamara and Roberto Carlos in the pub. And straight away, that just looked weird and odd. And like, what's going on here then? So I think they set out for that. And I think they achieved that very British down-to-earth football.
I did agree until I saw that at that pub, Roberto Carlos was drinking a bottle of Budweiser, which I think is a crime against pubs.
He let himself down.
Apparently, he then moved on to the Madry, so I'd like to think that Derek the Bricklayer said, no, lad, you can't have that. Have one of these.
What also I noticed about the story was that I saw the penalty and that I was getting shot on someone's phone. I thought that if they'd done some sort of like schmoozy, nice production valued film about this, it would have lost its charm.
Yeah, well, that's why it's fun, because eBay didn't insert themselves into the story too much. It's hard to see how this kind of translates into commercial value, but I think it's just a nice kind of feel good story, so I don't think it's done them any harm.
Who shops at eBay now?
Like, old people.
Is it?
I think it's old people, yeah, I don't use eBay.
But old people like Roberto Carlos and
something. Oh, yeah, so then it does make sense.
So maybe that's the point.
Yeah, it makes
maybe
sense.
Maybe they think they're losing like younger audiences to Depop and that, so they need like
who's going to save us? Roberto Carlos.
Who the 40-year-old blokes in Wigan, like Roberto Carlos and Ennio Luco. Yeah.
What other stuff was eye-catching, James, that you came across this week?
A claymation of Kanye West burying his ex-wife's new boyfriend in the desert.
Strange.
It's the Games new song featuring Kanye West, although based off of the video, you'd think Kanye probably had a fair bit of creative control over it, because it's a claymation like Wallace and Gromit, which I'd like to think was an inspiration for Kanye. And it's a claymation of him finding somebody who looks an awful lot like Pete Davidson, who is his ex-wife's new boyfriend.
Who's his ex-wife? Oh, Kim Kardashian?
Is it Kim? Kim, you know it's Kim.
I'm being sarcastic.
Yeah, and they bury him in the desert, which, on one hand, maybe the claymation makes it seem more like fun and games, but it's kind of dark as well.
No, it's a bit out of order, to be fair. Like, it's just crazy. I think the fact that we're talking about it, saying, like, it's questionable. We're not saying, yay, Kanye, like, that's so cool. But do you know what's funny? Because, like, he's just recently released, well, his documentary is also released on Netflix as well, The Genius One. And it just reminds you how much of a genius he actually is. And then when he does this, I'm just like,
it's embarrassing. Oh,
he might be one of those people who needs to be going through some sort of emotional
trauma. Like Taylor Swift, yeah.
Like Taylor
Swift? Yeah. She writes her best songs when she's heartbroken.
A lot of people are very conflicted about whether he's a good artist or not. I do think he's a brilliant artist, and I do think that he's changed the game. I think that he's made rap music an art form, and he's been doing something interesting with the form. Perhaps he's a genius, and that kind of comes with the territory. He is going to be something that isn't pretty on one side of him, right?
And for the first time ever, we're getting that in real time. Like, something happens
to him. That's very modern.
Something happens to him a week before, and he says, okay, let's get in the studio and let's make a video about it. That's why I think it's kind of cool. Yeah.
So, Kanye with the Life of Pablo album, it was like one of the first albums that he was updating. So, like gaming, he was updating it as it was live. So, like, something happened at Madison Square Garden. So he put it in the song. So, like, that album was like developing live, like in real time, over a period of about like half a year, unconfined by traditional music making, looking at what's going from other places and going, well, gaming does updates, that's super cool, why can't I do that in my music? Why is an album, when it goes out, the finished product, why can't I update it, change it, fuck about with it? That's where he's like, unquestionably, whatever he's doing, it is super interesting.
It is. Okay, my question would be, so obviously, there's no doubt he's a genius when it comes to even clothing, Yeezys, shoes, music. Him talking about his personal life and doing the things that he does on Twitter, does that taint his talent?
It taints him, though.
It taints
But you can separate the art from the artist, can't you? That's with
you
anyone.
You can. Yeah.
That's about anyone in history.
Although he's not exactly helping with that, because his art is very much his personal life.
It's mixed
now,
together.
Like, anyway, it's interesting. Does that, I'll leave that with you, like, because it is murdering someone at the end of the day. That's not cool. Murder is not cool. I know he didn't actually murder.
But I know what you mean.
Yeah. Well, we've got to give our weekly update of crypto stuff that we don't know anything about.
Oh, dear.
And couldn't possibly try to explain. Mm-hmm. But, and this one's kind of even more embarrassing because it involves a 12-year-old who knows an awful lot more about it than us. So basically, there's some kid from a school in West London who's got like a crypto empire of 3 million quid from selling NFTs that look like pixelated whales.
Yeah, it's always an annoying child that does this shit.
Why is it annoying?
Because I'm jealous. I'm bitter. That's why.
I'm kind of with you. I'm like, all right, Mr. Really good in school. Yeah. All right, making us all look a bit shit here, aren't you?
And the parents are always like, oh, I encourage him to do this since such a young age. Like,
oh no, I bet his dad's horrible. Imagine that, daddy can have some fish fingers. Learn to code.
I think kids are learning to code now. I think it's part of school curriculum.
Learning to code and speak Mandarin as well. Those two
can
things.
He speak Mandarin?
Wait, this kid can speak Mandarin?
Lord knows, he probably
does. Just embellishing
us. Yeah. You can't just add a detail like that, like no one will notice.
No, but at 5 years old, you shouldn't really be doing that. You should just be like picking your nose and like colouring in things.
Throwing rocks at pigeons.
My God, Asbo child.
So anyway, look, what was the thing? He's 12 years old, and what has he done? Let me just get this straight in my head. What has he done at 12 years old that is noteworthy?
So he learned to code, and he started making NFTs. And he was originally selling them for like 60 quid each, and now some of them are going for like over £20,000 each. See, I kind of don't mind it, because I feel like with a lot of the crypto stuff, you see basically people who seem like wankers getting really rich.
That's also true.
Whereas with this kid, like, obviously he's going to be a wanker soon, but he's not yet, so I'm happy for him for now.
So James, some of the other stories that you put in that sort of like jumped out at me, because you know that I'm a fan of Specsavers. Should have gone to Specsavers. Just activation platform, the line basically. Which has been going for like 20 years or so, or I don't know, 10 years, 15 years.
No, that was the anniversary. 20
years, right. Okay.
Well, that advert was the anniversary.
Or yeah, I think so, because they took it away for like a couple of years and they brought it back, and I think it was because it was like the 20-year anniversary.
It is one of my favourite advertising tropes, lines, activations, whatever you want to call it, because I just think it's like you can repeat it and it's always funny if you get it right. However, saying that, this is the 20-year anniversary, and that ad, I thought it was pretty average, the advert.
So did I. I was expecting a much bigger like punchline. Oh, you're at the wrong block of flats. I could do that.
What was it? Describe it to me. I didn't get a chance
okay,
to.
Okay, so like it's a geezer, and I think he's delivering like a bed or a sofa.
Like a really heavy thing.
Yeah,
okay.
and like they make a meal of it. He's walking up like these like big block of flats. Mm. And he gets to the top, got delivery, and she's like, no, this is block two, she's on to like block three.
Considering how good some of the other ones were, like, you know that farmer that's cutting the sheep, we fix he's cutting the sheep and he's cutting his dog by accident.
Oh, the vet, the cat, where he's trying to get a pulse in the woman's hat.
Yeah,
like, yeah,
this was
that's
like,
great.
This was really boring compared to that, I think.
What is the deal with Specsavers? So, do you get like two pairs of glasses at Specsavers?
Yeah, it's like cheap and they're a bit ugly, like, sorry to anyone that gets their glasses from Specsavers, but yeah. Just a bit outdated, I think. That's why
they are pretty old-fashioned, and they don't have that many like
styles.
Options.
Yeah,
I think that's a really good point, because I think that advert could have given a chance to celebrate a great platform, but also update, be more relevant. Where do you get your glasses from, Gina?
Ace and Tate.
Because
I'm cool. It's just like much cheaper than other places, but like really cool designs and stuff. Just a bit more funky, and they send you like five to try on. You pick five, and then you obviously figure it out that way. But then I went into store.
So did you not get one of the ones with the cool designs then, or?
Whoa!
They're absolutely stunning.
I think they're cool.
I think James needs to go and sit in the corner.
I think James needs to go to Specsavers.
You need to go to Specsavers and see what's sitting in front of you, alright?
I think that one could have been better, so whatever, James. I'm not a fan of that guy.
No.
Again.
I vote no.
Could have done better.
I liked the Burger King article, their new ads where they're like really zoomed in, but I don't think it's cool.
It's like a plant-based Whopper, and they have macroed into vegetables, and it looks like red meat, right?
Yeah.
But it's actually quite gross red meat. It looks like raw red meat. Mm. It doesn't look like, it doesn't even look like cooked red meat.
No, the radicchio one's decent because it kind of looks like bacon.
Mm-hmm.
I quite like that.
Yeah, see, you say it's not cool, like, it's not cool, but if it's like kind of, for stuff that goes in cool shit, I'd say if it's kind of like stands out or if it's thought provoking in any way, then that's kind of good enough.
Yeah.
Like, not everything's just meant to be like sort of super edgy, super cool. Like, if it's like a smart idea and it's effective, then I think that's. But I think this is much more memorable and much better executed than the Specsavers one.
Well, that told me.
Well, no, I mean, it's interesting because we talked about McDonald's last week, didn't we? And while McDonald's, most of the time, I think their advertising is very, very mainstream but spot on. It really gets the sort of everyman thing. Like, just by, virtue of being a challenger, Burger King have always just been a bit more edgy with the way that they approach
it. Like funnier as well.
Yeah, funnier, edgier. They did the mold Whopper, was it?
Oh yeah, the moldy.
Oh yeah.
That's kind of obviously eye-catching and a bit stunty, but the point was that they use proper ingredients, they actually go off compared to like a cheeseburger from McDonald's that you can leave there for 2 years.
Yeah. Just thought. I mean, they're always trying to challenge and sort of push the boat out, which is why I like this and I agree with you. I think it's pretty cool because it's a challenging thing to look at. It's not like what I think a fast food retailer would normally make, because it's actually subverting something where it doesn't even look attractive, right? But it makes you think. It makes you stop and it makes you question, because that's the difficulty of being Burger King, right? What's going to stop you going to a McDonald's? You need to stop and think, oh yeah, maybe Burger King. Yeah,
especially because every chain's doing like plant-based versions of food. So,
do you know what's funny? Different. So Burger King's vegan nuggets were said to be, they actually taste like McDonald's nuggets. So why would you want to go Burger King, get the vegan nuggets, when you can literally go McDonald's to get the OG nuggets?
If you
nuggets.
Don't so eat chicken.
That's kind of chicken. Yeah.
So you don't, if you're a vegetarian, what? That's the point.
I don't know. I feel like the vegan stuff is just as bad as the processed fake meat.
But it's not for health.
Not for the chicken.
It's not for health, though. Yeah, the chicken's still alive in this case.
There's not a soybean screaming somewhere.
Right, does anyone want a challenge? So I'm interested in knowing, Gina, you seem before the podcast, you seem very, very pleased with yourself that you had a good story to bring to the table this week. What's
so
that?
So we all have pubic hair.
Yeah.
Well, that is a strong start.
Speak for yourself.
So we all have pubic hair, right? And did you know that pubes are really good for the planet. They help fight soil erosion, so it increases soil fertility.
Okay.
So basically, where I'm going with the story, there's a brand called EOS. They do lip balms and stuff. I don't actually know why it's them that's doing this.
Oh, the ball lip balms.
The little blob lip
yeah.
balms, yeah. So that's all I know them for. But they're making an inspired line of shaving cream, and they're sending it to some people for free in collaboration with this other company where you can send your pubes away for farmers to use to kind of, leverage the hair in different environmental missions.
Are you thinking about sending your pubes away?
I might.
Essentially, this story is a stunt. No one is going to send their pubes
I've been
anywhere.
Sending mine for years, so it'd be good
Where do you send your pubes, James?
Just a random address.
No, it's a stunt, but it's also telling people a fact that a lot of people don't know, is that pubes are actually good for the environment. Or hair in general. I never knew hair was good for the environment. Like, I would never have thought that. So exactly. It fertilises soil, it's durable and it's biodegradable, and it's a natural source of nitrogen, which is really good for plants, which stops soil erosion. And it's, like I said, it's a great oil spill sponge. So if you've got an oil spill at home, you know what to do.
And how is the brand itself related to pubes? Is it related to pubes at all?
No. Oh, they do shaving cream.
Okay.
So they're going to be sending shaving cream.
That's personal care.
You don't get any exclusively pube brands.
There are no pube brands.
That's about as close as
But also, they've done a really cute little video, or like, they've done these really cute little characters that are like, have little smiley faces.
Okay.
Pubes for the planet.
I do like that.
It's so cute.
Do you know what I would like to know? Like, so if, okay, great, pubes for the planet, I love it. Would you ever buy a mat knowing that it's made out of pubes?
Whose pubes?
Yours, for example, James, let's say.
I would not.
No.
I would not purchase anything
no,
if I knew that it was made out of James's pubes. No. That's the clear, firm answer to that one, Siva, just so that we're clear.
But it doesn't go in your home, it's going to like a farm outside.
It's a fertilised soil, it doesn't make anything.
You can make a mat out of it.
Still like, alive. If you were to make a mat out of it.
And do people purchase these, or is
no,
it just
it's
given
for
to
farmers,
them?
It's given to farmers.
Okay. There is an angry farmer somewhere. It's interesting, isn't it? I think what you're saying, which I agree with actually, is that it's calling out something that's just making us think about the environment in a different way. I don't think anyone's really going to send their pubes. And if they are, whoever that person is, stop
James.
It. It's a stunt. Stop sending your pubes anywhere.
Yeah.
Just go out. In fact, if you really care about it, take your pubes outside and just put them in soil
yourself.
Just
sprinkle them on your plants.
I'm not quite clear on the
relevance.
Well,
there's going to be the world's first pube park in San Francisco.
You're joking.
This isn't real.
Now you're joking.
Where it's all going
this isn't
to.
Real.
You left this out, right? Wow. So there is going to be a pube park in San Francisco made of, like, what, fertilised by pubes?
Yeah, basically.
I mean, that would be interesting.
To make hair a sustainable solution.
I'm interested. Mm. I'm going to put that firmly in the category of maybe.
Okay. Do you know that you were... thinking about bringing some Batman to the table this week.
No spoilers, though.
You forgot that
segue,
didn't you?
No spoilers. Listen, I was one of those that went and watched it, you know, opening night on Friday, 9:30, straight after work, you know, 3-hour screening, looking forward to it, should be worth it. I walked out and thought, I just want to be in bed, you know, like.
But isn't that the same with every superhero movie?
No,
movie is like 3 hours long. Better to watch them in bed.
You know,
that's what I'm saying.
Spider-Man Multiverse, I was jumping, like throwing webs, like in the car park after coming out. But with this, like post Batman Dark Knight Rises, Dark Knight trilogy, watching this, I felt pretty underwhelmed.
So, Siva, am I right in saying that, like, you came to the Cool Shit podcast with the story of Batman, which you felt super let down by?
That's kind of right. Do you know what? Because I feel like everywhere I'm going TikTok, going Insta, I see, like all this, like, marketing, Batman marketing. But I feel like there's more of a hype with Robert Pattinson and Zoe Kravitz than the actual movie. And I think that says it all.
Can we take one of the stories out with one of the stories that... someone has brought to the table today?
I think the most obvious swap is Specsavers out, because you kind of have to know the backstory for it to kind of qualify. Mm-hmm. Whereas just if you just watch the advert, you just think, who gives a fuck, it's the same as any
not
other
the
advert.
Batman.
Whereas I think the Burger King one is kind of more impactful and more interesting. So I think that would be a really obvious, easy, straight swap.
What about Batman?
Gina's pubes?
Wait, what about Batman?
Huh?
Batman?
You didn't even like it. Yeah. You brought Batman to the table, even though you didn't like it. But you didn't like it so much, you're going to go and try and see it again.
Batman is to try and see if you can make it better. Batman is talk of the town.
But that's the point. To me, cool shit's like the stuff that isn't talk of the town. It's the stuff that's kind of slightly detached from that. Like, a massive blockbuster film came out.
Yeah, not mainstream.
Yeah, right. So that's what, to be fair, when you suggested it earlier, I knew we were going to talk about it. I knew straight away, I was like, yeah, it's not going in.
She's never going to contribute again.
No, but I'm glad you brought up, because it's definitely worth talking about. But I'd lean Pubes over Batman.
Yeah.
If we can fact check it all, and it's not complete bollocks, pardon the sort of pun. then I'm okay with putting Pubes and Cool Shit.
Cool Shit newsletter comes out every Friday. If you want to sign up, where do you go? How do we sign up to the Cool Shit newsletter?
Go on the Zach website, sign up.
What's the Zach website?
I don't know.
Zach.co.
Oh my god, this is going well.
www.zachagency.com.
zak.com/coolshit.
So if you want to sign up for the Cool Shit newsletter, you'll be able to see the stories that we've talked about, what's made it in, what hasn't. And I just want to say thank you very much, guys. It's had a lot of fun tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having us. It's a good time.
And if you want to tune in next week, James, you'll be...
I'll be here.
You'll be here.